Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It is Monday, January 30th. Last week, we celebrated National Lutheran Schools Week. Thanks be to God for the many Lutheran schools around the country that partner with us parents to help us raise up children in this Christian faith. And this week, we're going to take a look at some more organizations that help us with that. We're going to visit some of our Lutheran camps and retreats, members of National Lutheran Outdoor Ministry Association across the country that help us during the summer with that. Spending time with our young people, some with the whole family around God's word, celebrating his good gifts, especially creation all around us. Hope you can join us for conversations today. We're going to head to Michigan, Indiana, Iowa, learn about some great camps in those places that help us do that. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family. Find them on our website, kfuo.org. They're in the sponsor section. Look for the CUW logo. Joining us this morning from Camp Concordia in Gowan, Michigan, Dr. Craig Oldenburg. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning.
How are things at Camp Concordia in Gowan, Michigan?
It's 2 degrees warmer than what you said on the radio.
Well, out of the camp, it's a little bit warmer than it is in the city, huh?
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful right now. The snow just was coming down in large flakes yesterday, and it's just a beautiful blanket of white.
Well, very good. I'm sure that the camp setting is absolutely gorgeous today with that white blanket of snow, and you have to endure all that beauty.
That's right. We remind our daughter about how God writes about how he'll make our sins as white as snow. So it works.
Amen. Amen. Now, Camp Concordia, located in Gowan, Michigan, for our listeners not familiar with Gowan, Michigan, where would you find Gowan, Michigan, Camp Concordia?
We're north of Grand Rapids, Michigan, about 45 minutes.
And from Grand Rapids, how far outside? Well, from the town of Gowan, are you in town? Outside of town?
Well, Gowan is a gas station. We're relatively close to that gas station.
That's outstanding. How long has Camp Concordia been there?
We've been here since 1957. This is our 60th year anniversary.
Wow. Well, a milestone certainly to be celebrated. Thanks be to God. And Craig, how long have you been at Camp Concordia? Just a few years now, right?
Yeah, it'll be 3 years in April.
Very good. Well, what goes on at Camp Concordia year-round and during the summer?
Year-round, we're actually a seasonal camp right now. We have a master plan team that's sitting down and taking a look at what it would take and whether there's even a need for more year-round camp facilities in Michigan, specifically to service the Lutheran churches. But so summer-wise, though, we're big in the summer. We are a summer children's camp, so we look at summer as being children's, youth, and their families. And any way that we can enhance the children's ministry of a congregation and or the personal children's ministry of each family, that's our mission, that's our goal.
And so what are some of the things that happen at summer camp that help you do that, that help you work toward that goal?
Well, everything from, we're Christ-centered, so we're going to have evening campfire devotions. We have Bible time, or what we call Bible adventures, and there's small groups of kids all over the camp with our summer ministry staff having Bible study. But then that's all mixed in, and even the message is mixed in with all the activities from canoeing to swimming. We're on a chain of five lakes, so canoeing, swimming, kayaking, team challenge course, ropes course type things, archery, all those. If you think of the good old-fashioned summer camp, we've got that. Plus, this year, because of some wonderful donors, we're introducing archery tag to Camp Concordia.
Those are two words that should not be together in the same name.
That's right. Archery tag, it's a big, soft ball at the end of these arrows. So everybody's safe and you wear masks, but it's a pretty interesting. So we'll see how that goes. We'll report on how it went next year, okay?
I'm sure lots of parents raise some eyebrows when they hear about archery tag, huh? Until they learn what it really is.
That's right.
So there are all kinds of activities, as you mentioned, from studying God's word in more of a formal setting where you're studying and digging into God's word, to being reminded of his word in the activities that you do and even in the creation around you.
Yes. Yep. Yep. You want to make every opportunity to connect, to make it a connecting point. And that's what I think is so neat right now, immediately, about camps and the church is this, is that, yeah, we're studying God's word, but we're doing it in a way where we're a good and unique entry point for people back into the church. And I'm pretty strong about that right now in our whole millennial, our talk around the millennial families, the millennial population that is staying away from church. I think churches should just rally around their camps, because I really do think that we're a natural place for the unchurched to get reconnected.
What are and how do those reconnections happen? Is through an invitation of someone?
Yes, I can invite my unchurched friend to camp. As a matter of fact, what we're doing right now is we're handing out gift certificates to Lutheran school students each time I visit a school, and it gives them a really inexpensive opportunity to go to camp. But it says in there, plus invite an unchurched friend to come with you, and they can come for that same incredibly low price, because we think that this is a missional outreach.
What are some of your favorite activities or spots around camp? Some of your favorite things that happen at camp that for you, and you think what are some of the highlights that campers really appreciate, the campers really like?
Sure. Well, of course, the waterfront. I mean, even when I go to the schools now, what would you like to do at camp? Oh, it's swim. But the thing that we just added was a zip line. And why is that my favorite? I was in Colorado for a long time, and we did a lot of climbing, rappelling, and high ropes. And so the zip line is a good addition for Camp Concordia. Another, for me, a good thing is we're developing what we call a conservation trail. And what we have is we have a north section of the property that is just chock full of wild raspberries and red pines growing up and all of this. And so getting the kids out there and being able to actually pick and consume berries, it's just good. It's because there's so many kids who are, their daily routine is sitting. And so to just get them out, get moving around, do the thing that they can't really expect. I know maybe picking raspberries doesn't sound like a, wow, that's really exciting, but you should see the kids after they've done it. Besides being messy, they're pretty excited.
Now, for some kids, that's perhaps something they've done before, but for some, this might be the first time they've ever gotten out and seen where food, you know, actually comes from, where to see, you know, food still on the branch.
Yep. Exactly. I mean, the kayaking, you know, we introduced kayaking last year, and those are all good too. And I love them. I mean, I'd like to continue to add incredible programs, but things, it's the things that, you know, we have a lot of kids right now who come and their greatest adventure experience was done on the computer. And so for these kids to finally get away from the computer, it's, even Harvard Business Review is saying this isn't just a good idea. It's urgent.
Why is it urgent? Why is it so important?
Kids are kinesthetic learners. Kids, we think kids learn through the screen, but they do learn something. But once we start looking at the five senses, of the, you know, touch and smell and taste and hearing and seeing, and we get them outdoors, now they're finally doing something and they can evaluate themselves better. That's one of the key things with child development, is that, you know, when we sit them in front of the screen, they can't evaluate themselves. They haven't touched, they haven't tasted, they haven't done anything, and when they get out and they start moving around, now they have something that it develops them in a whole new way. You have studies that say these kids, and I don't want to lean on just confidence, because it's about faith at Camp Concordia, but at the same time, they say, yep, camp kids are more confident, they're more prepared for the world, and on and on and on. So it's just, and it isn't just any camp, though. I want to say again, I think it needs to be a Christ-centered camp.
Do you have a favorite story of a camper or a staff member who, or a family who was greatly impacted by camp and what happens there?
Right. Yeah. My favorite story, I still share it, is just, it's the letters that come back, and the one, it's actually, if I can do two, they won't be long stories, but it's just a dad came with his son to what we call a kinder camp type thing, where it's little tiny ones and with a parent. And you'd think, you know, when they're that small, you know, talking about faith, that's not a hard thing, right? Well, apparently it is, because the letter we got back from the dad was, wow, now my son and I are open to talking about our faith. That to me is a win. The second one was a junior high girl, a middle school girl, whatever. And she came home, and mom writes back to us and says, guess what? My daughter's now willing to talk with me about her faith. And for a junior high girl, like, obviously that was an issue at their house, for a junior high girl to be able to finally open up about faith. That's what we want. That's the goal. Those are the cool things. That's why we kayak and swim and go off zip lines, because we want those doors to open.
What is, as parents talk to you about camp, what are some of the questions that parents have as they're planning or thinking about their child coming to camp for the summer?
Is it safe? One, I'm not sure my child is ready for this. That's a major question. And of course the answer is don't wait. It's too important for that child to start to develop a sense of their own faith. And they can't, you can't hover over them. The whole helicopter parent thing is of course another conversation. But those are probably the two big ones. There's a few questions around, you know, what's the food that you serve type thing. But the key ones are, you know, is when I hand my child over to these counselors. So we have two summer ministry staff in every cabin, and when I hand them over to them, how do I know that they're going to be cared for, they're not going to be abused? I mean, these are, you know, these are big questions that I think parents should be asking. And I often say, parents, you can spy on us, and here's how you do it. Now, you can't just come on to camp anytime, because we have to have background checks, but you can come be a volunteer staff, and you can go camp in our family campground. We'll do a background check on you. And now, every moment you have, just kind of look over and spy on us, because we want to be known as an accountable and a quality and a safe camp for your kids.
So. Now, you mentioned a family campground. Tell me a little bit about that.
We have 38 campsites that we'll use for groups of families, church groups, youth groups, whatever. They cannot camp there while we have children on camp, because of the whole thing of strangers and all that kind of thing. But there could be a group. We have groups actually from as far away as Missouri coming up, and they'll do their camping here, and make that part of their family ministry. We run a few family camps here at Camp Concordia. It's not our complete focus, but it does fit our children's ministry model. And so we'll run a few what we call camp outs, and then one major family camp week. Like this year, Pastor Ryan Peterson from Concordia University in Ann Arbor is going to be our main speaker for adults. And then our summer staff will be working with the kids. And it'll be a week, almost a week long, right before the 4th of July. And so people will come with RVs, tents. Some will stay in our kids' cabins. That's family camp here at Camp Concordia.
Well, that sounds like a great time as well. What's the best way? How do you start that process of finding out what camps are available, what time or what weeks, and registration, those types of things?
Okay, so campconcordia.org. Actually, we go by campconcordia.org, .net, or .com, so you can't lose. Because the other Camp Concordia is a prisoner of war camp in Kansas, I think, and we don't want people to go there, right? Camp Concordia, just go to campconcordia.org. It's very, very laid out there. It has the ages of all the different camp opportunities, and it has the family camp opportunities. Click in. Once you see what you want, there's an online registration. Click in, and the online registration will just step you right through the whole process.
So now's the time, I gather, to start thinking and planning for summer camp at Camp Concordia.
And it's even almost past the time for some camps. I know some of our camp sessions are already full, and not a lot of them. But so, parents should get on the stick. Grandparents, get on the stick. Get your grandkids signed up for camp. Yep.
Okay, so we've got just about a minute left, a little under a minute left. Two random trivia questions.
Okay.
What's the most common thing found in Lost and Found at Camp Concordia?
Water bottles.
And camper favorite meal at Camp Concordia?
Pizza feast on Sunday night when they all arrive.
What's that again?
Pizza feast.
Pizza feast.
Oh, yeah.
On Sunday night.
Yes,
that sounds divine.
With the big salad bar. You betcha.
That's outstanding. It sounds like a lot of fun. And campconcordia.org is the website, correct?
Correct.
All right. Check it out. Find out what's going on at Camp Concordia this summer. See if there's a camp for you. Craig, thanks so much for being my guest today on Faith and Family, sharing with us about the upcoming events this summer
at
Camp Concordia in Gowan, Michigan.
I appreciate the time.
My pleasure. Absolutely. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll head to Albion, Indiana. We'll talk with Tim Jenk, executive director there, about what's going at Camp Luther Haven this summer. And we'll head over to Solon, Iowa, learn about Camp Iota Sika with Camp Director Daniel Sanchez. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
I kept on trying, learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
We did it, so can you.
For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
Listening to Faith and Family. I'm Eddie Bates. It is Camp and Retreat Week here on Faith and Family. Check in with our friends at a number of organizations who are partners of National Lutheran Outdoor Ministry Association, a lot of our camps and retreat centers across the U.S. who are gearing up for all their busy seasons in the summer, but they have other things going on throughout the year as well. Love to share their stories with you. Today we have Tim Jenk, Executive Director of Camp Luther Haven, Albion, Indiana. Good morning, Tim.
Morning.
Thanks for being my guest again and sharing the Camp Luther Haven story with our listeners. And I guess I should just be forthright with the audience. We shared the story before as well. But Camp Luther Haven has an important place, a special place in my heart because, well, that's where I met my beautiful bride. So I always love sharing the Camp Luther Haven story. And the Jenk family is a part of that. It's been a long part of the history of Camp Luther Haven as well. Tim, how long have you been there?
Oh, I think it's 23 years now.
23 years at Camp Luther Haven, Albion, Indiana. Where would we find Albion, Indiana?
Albion, Indiana is just near Fort Wayne, just about an hour northwest of Fort Wayne.
So Camp Luther Haven is outside of Fort Wayne, just about an hour outside, out on those beautiful Indiana country roads, and a beautiful place to get away and enjoy the beautiful creation that God has blessed us with. And it's quite a few acres there at Camp Luther Haven, too, right?
Yes, it is. Camp Luther Haven is 72 acres we've been blessed with. We're right on a lake, Lake Muncie, and connected to another lake called Williams Lake. I have some forest and wetlands, in some hills and all kinds of features that a beautiful part of Indiana.
Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. Well, tell me a little bit about the history of Camp Luther Haven, what it has been throughout the years, and what is Camp Luther Haven today?
Sure, yeah. Well, Andy, of course, it's great to be with you. You've been a part of that history, but it really goes back way before my time even, and that is 1949. There was a Lutheran school principal, Gene Berger, who had a vision for doing something with his students during the summertime and recognized just how important getting outside can be. And so he began Camp Luther Haven with his wife, Marty, and a bunch of other folks. And they started as just a summer ministry. And from there, over the years, with the addition of a few facilities that have launched us into year-round ministry, we have some facilities that enable us to go all year long, and no matter what the weather is. But certainly summer continues to be our largest program, where we serve about 2,000 children and adults each summer. It's grown that way over the years, and with that has come challenges, but also many blessings, as we've been able to just partner with so many churches and schools in the area and just kind of being an extension of what they do year-round.
And so the facilities, the people, the history all shape what Camp Luther Haven is today, and even the location, as you mentioned, right there on Lake Muncie as well. What are some of the favorite some of your favorite aspects of camp? What are your favorite activities at camp?
It is it's really been a cool thing to introduce people to Camp Luther Haven. You know, I live right on site here. And I just so quickly get used to the beauty, and so I'm really thrilled to be reminded when someone comes out and stands out on the deck and sees the leaves and the wildlife and the shimmering lake and just realize that what a gift that is to people. And people see that in lots of different ways. Like I said, the summer camp ministry, but we get quite a few school groups that will come out here as well for outdoor education. We offer also personal spiritual retreats that people can come out and just enjoy some quiet time with God. And then our facilities are available to many church groups and other groups as they need a place to get away and to retreat for a while as well. That, along with other retreats that we launch ourselves, like we do some youth ministry retreats that we offer to our area, really encourage people to come out here. Some of the activities people really enjoy about this place are just the fun. Mm-hmm. You know, camp is just a well-established place where it's okay to just let loose a bit and to get a little bit crazy at times. Even you, Andy, I remember back in the day. But it's a great place to do that. It's a great place to rediscover the many gifts that God has given in creation. You know, we're used to having a lot of control over our surroundings, and creation reminds us of just the intricate control God has put in creation around us, even if we're not the ones controlling it. Just the utter majesty that he reminds us each and every day, just to take notice from the small to the large that's around us. Besides all the activities that the lake invites people to do with boating and swimming, there's also the forest and hikes, lots of studying of nature up close that people can do. We have an archery field here, so people get to try their hand at being little Robin Hoods as they go about. And then just spending time with each other. I mean, we get people outside, but there's something about getting away from your normal routine and your normal four walls that really open your eyes to the people sometimes you work with or go to school with, and you get to a deeper place with people and to a Christian community.
And of course, among those activities, you mentioned, you know, getting out and playing and just having some fun. One of those traditions at Camp Luther Haven would be capture the flag.
Sure. Yes. You know, camps are rich with tradition, and each one has their own unique ones. We have one on Sunday night. Yeah, because campers arrive the first night. Our large group activity we do is a capture the flag game on our athletic field, and just a fun kind of dressing up and acting like we're arch enemies on the playing field to counter each other. But it ends with lots of joy in a jump in the lake is one of those really special traditions camp has. Another one, oddly enough, is our mascot. You think of northern Indiana now, is a moose. So moose are typically around these parts, but it happens to be our mascot, and so we have a moose up in our dining room, and that moose gets to be kissed on certain occasions. For example, if it's your birthday, you get to kiss the moose, or you lose a tooth, or if you have an anniversary, that you will be invited to do that. Along with a polar bear tradition we have in the mornings, and if you are able to do that all week, you get to join the Polar Bear Club. And as you can begin to understand, all these traditions just make for a really fun and memorable time that just kind of stick in your memory.
Polar bear, that's a nice way to wake up, isn't it?
Depends on your point of view, yes. Yeah.
For our listeners not familiar with polar bear, you wake up nice and early before the other activities are going on at camp and take a refreshing dip in the lake.
That's right.
On a nice cool summer morning.
Some cooler than others. And if the polar bears, mom and papa polar bear, are especially into it, one of their favorites is to have you jump into the spring. Now, we have a natural spring right at our lakeside, and the spring is about a constant 53 degrees, which right now might feel kind of warm, but in the summer, I can assure you, it is it's very cold.
It's quite cold.
Yeah.
Been in that spring before, not for very long.
Nope, yeah.
Tim, who makes their way to camp? Who could come to Camp Luther Haven? I know you mentioned there are a couple of opportunities throughout the year and during the summer. Who is served by Camp Luther Haven?
Well, really a variety of ages. Certainly as you think about summer camps, certainly the kids come. Elementary is probably our biggest users of camp. But our programs start down at kindergarten. We have a day kinder camp. We've got two of those in the summer. And then we have camps that go all the way up through high school in the summertime. And so we have some camps specially designed for that age group, including some servant events and some opportunities to serve here on camp as being kind of part of the staff team. And then, of course, we've got some programs that launch into adulthood as well. We've got some family camps, including the whole family, and then some programs that are for fathers and sons and for mothers and daughters. And then off summer, we move into some women's retreats, and we've got a confirmation ministry we call Stepping Stones of Faith, where we invite confirmating groups and other youth groups to come up and just come together and learn more about what it means to be a Christian, kind of a lifelong learner as we are spend time in God's Word and in devotion with Him. So those are the main areas we hit. I mentioned before some of the school groups that come up, and that can be a variety of ages, again, from kindergarten, first grade, on up through seventh and eighth grade, typically, from the schools. Its camp has also been a great place people come and help out, so they recognize that it's it really happens with just an army of volunteers that help us, everything from raking leaves to tidying things up to fixing things, lots of firewood. And so we have a few opportunities like that where everything from high schoolers come up and help do that to families, and entire groups will do that as well.
What is one of your favorite memories from camp, from the history of your time there at Camp Luther Haven?
Oh, favorite memories.
A story of a camper or a staffer that where camp really made a difference for them.
Yeah. I learned about one of our staff members recently who confided that she had been coming as a camper as a kid, but then eventually really saw that she wanted to be part of more toward the staff. And the problem was she recognized we were a Christian camp, but she wasn't a Christian. And that was a problem, right? Right. And so kind of in a strange way, she realized that that was something important to us and one of our values of being here. And in so applying for summer staff, God did some remarkable things in her life, and she became a Christian and ended up serving here on summer staff. And what a blessing to know that, you know, outside of our hands, we didn't even know this was occurring. The Holy Spirit was at work through the counselors and the fellow campers that were around her, and she came to know the Lord, and not only that, but to want to serve him in this way. So that was a real special story to hear.
What are the ways that, particularly during summer camp, that campers hear that word of God and learn about the Savior Jesus?
Yeah. You know, much like a Lutheran school, it is so integrated in kind of everything you do. So, you know, from the staff to the other campers to the activities to the prayers. So certainly it is all around you. But there's definitely some specific places that we hit during the day. We start off in the morning with breakfast, and we have first words. We start out with a short word of God to start our day off. And then we move in to all kinds of activities during the day, but they also include what we call fun in the sun, which is a Bible study time in the sun, our Savior Jesus Christ. So we spend about an hour in that. Similar to kind of a Sunday school, we start as a large group and then move into cabin groups where you study God's Word together. So that happens. And then we also have a time during the day we call power time, and that's a half an hour set aside where we really try to equip campers to spend that time, one-on-one time with God. And so we give them some tools to do that. The counselors are there ready to assist them. But the idea that, you know, when they leave this place, which is really a short term, we really want to send them back with the tools to stay in God's Word, regardless of what might be going on around them. Later in the day, we close out the day with our campfire devotions, and that's always a favorite time where we, usually it's toward dark, and have a campfire going, and kind of an informal time, but might include a skit or a Bible story, and we close off the day with that. Campers then go back to their cabin, get ready for bed, and the counselors often will even have a little cabin devotion and prayer time back in their cabin as they go to sleep. So you can see it's integrated, but lots of different times throughout the day. We really intentionally want to expose kids to God's Word and what He's saying to them. This particular year, we're excited. Our theme this year is called Go, and it's based on Mark, when it's go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. And it's been a while since we've had an evangelistic kind of theme, and we're really excited about really helping kids see the world around them, not just places like China and Africa, which of course need to hear God's Word, but how to do that each and every day, and how to do that with my friends and my neighbors, my family, because God has given us so much to share, even in our own lives, each and every day with people around us.
What's the lineup for this summer, and how can we find out more? What are the next steps to get registered for the summer?
Yeah, we are approaching kind of our summer launch. That's going to be in early February where we do that, and so you'll see it on our website, which is lutherhaven.org, O-R-G. And we also mail out our brochures and offer those to people that wish to see those. We usually pull from really about a 100-mile radius about our parts, but we do get them from all kinds of states as well. In fact, as you're having a number of other guests, there are Lutheran camps all around the country to check out. So for us, the website's a great place, especially if you're far apart, or you can certainly contact us, and we'll be happy to put you on our mailing list to receive our materials, too.
Very good. Lutherhaven.org, is that right?
That's right, yep.
Very good. Check it out. And registration beginning in early February. Find out more about what's coming up this summer at Camp Lutherhaven and all the other year-round activities there as well.
Yeah.
Tim Jenk, Executive Director, Camp Lutherhaven, Albion, Indiana. Thanks for being a part of Faith and Family today.
Yeah, so good to be with you. Thanks for inviting me.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute. The recent election has been hard on the abortion industry. Pro-life candidates won on every level from the White House down to school boards. And as a result, the pro-life agenda is being advanced, thank God. Evidence of the negative fallout for the abortion industry is the comments by Betty Cockrum, head of Planned Parenthood in Indiana. Speaking about herself and her colleagues, Betty said, "When your fellow CEOs say, it's just no fun anymore, it just gets harder by the day, that's tough." Well, cry me a river, Betty. Killing tens of thousands of innocent preborn children should not be fun. Please join me in praying for Betty and others in the abortion industry. Ask the Holy Spirit to work a repentant heart in them and provide other forms of employment.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson with an invitation for you to join me over the weekday noon hour for Moments of Assurance, your lunchtime spiritual recipe. You'll enjoy encouraging scriptures, a bit of Bible history and trivia, news items, humor, the kids' corner, and more, all mixed in with faith-strengthening sacred music, a blend just right for your midday hour. So join me, won't you? That's Moments of Assurance over the weekday noontime hour here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Warming up a cold car sounds like a smart idea, but it can also be a hot opportunity for a car thief. Leaving a vehicle running with a key or fob inside makes it easy to steal. So don't leave your car running unattended. At the least, use a remote starter and keep the car locked up while it warms up. And never run the car in a closed garage. That creates the possibility of carbon monoxide poisoning. If you know something about car theft, call us at 1-800-TELL-NICB. A public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
You used to change my diapers.
Take care of me 24 hours a day.
Send me to school.
Mom.
Dad, I need you.
There's all these things I'm feeling that I've never felt before.
I need to know about having a boyfriend.
I need you to set limits.
I need you to tell me where you stand.
Help me make the right choices.
Mom, Dad, talk with me. You always say I can talk to you about anything.
A message from the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services.
Listen to Worldwide KFUO a click away 24 hours a day at KFUO.org. With our KFUO website and smartphone apps, you can listen to our live stream and our on-demand programs and podcasts anytime, day or night. Listen to Worldwide KFUO when you're available and where you are. Listen on your car radio, Bluetooth devices, smartphones, podcast players, Wi-Fi radios, and so many other listening devices. Listen today, tonight, tomorrow, whenever. And tell your friends about KFUO a click away 24 hours a day at KFUO.org.
Listening to Faith and Family, I'm Andy Bates. We are recognizing, visiting with some of our Lutheran camps and retreat centers across the country, part of National Lutheran Outdoors Ministry Association. And today we head to Iowa and visit with our friends at Camp Iodaseka. Daniel Sanchez is the camp director there in Solon, Iowa. Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. How are you, Daniel?
Hey, good. Great to be with you today.
Thanks for sharing with us about Camp Iodaseka. Tell us a little bit about the history of Camp Iodaseka. How long has it been there, and what has it become today?
Yeah, Camp Iodaseka has been around since 1963. Like a lot of our camps, a lot of Lutheran camps across the country, it took a lot of planning, a lot of people from different Synod and Auxiliary organizations, LWML, Walther League. All those organizations were very instrumental in building up Camp Iodaseka, laying the groundwork, raising support and funds for getting the camp going. The camp was established in 1963, and once they started that, they really began building the facility. And in 1965, they started their first summer camp program, although they'd been hosting some retreats and seasonal events and out at the camp already. Didn't have its first programs until about 65. And, things just kind of, like most camps, grew through the ages, adding facilities, expanding the property. And we have now, we currently have about a little more than 100 acres of land out here. And we're located on the north side of the Coralville Reservoir, which is between Cedar Rapids and Iowa City, Iowa. And so we have about 100 acres just kind of on the north shore of that. We don't have access to the lake, We have trails that go down it, but because it's a reservoir, it rises and lowers considerably quite a bit throughout the year. We're really not able to use it a lot for programming. That's a little bit about our history, where we started, and the size of our property today.
And where would we find Camp Iodoseca in Solon, Iowa?
Well, Solon is just north of Iowa City, and there's about a little area here just in Cedar Rapids, Iowa City. Iowa City is where the University of Iowa is, and there's an area of about 110,000 people there. And then just about 15 miles to the north is the Cedar Rapids area, and there's about 175,000 people in that area. And we're right in between the two towns. There's a reservoir right between the two towns. And Solon is actually just in between the two towns as well, but it's kind of on the other side of the reservoir, so it's a little bit of a strange location to be still part of the Solon Township. So it's east central Iowa. So we're about an hour from the Illinois border, and probably about 2 hours straight north to Minnesota, about an hour and a half straight down to Missouri.
What are some of your favorite activities at camp? What are the things that happen, particularly during summer camp?
Well, I think one of the neat features of our camp is our horse program. It's a program that fills up every week for us here at camp. We have, you think of Iowa, and you might not think camping culture, you might think cornfields. And though there are quite a few of those here, our area between Cedar Rapids and Iowa City is big and hilly, and it's very scenic, and it's great for horse trails and really getting to see and experience the terrain a little bit. So that's really a fun camp. It's fun to get out and enjoy the hills of this area of Iowa. Some of our other features here that are just a lot of fun at camp. We have a climbing wall and zip line. That's a really real fun one for the kids. They come back from year to year, or even throughout the course of the week, they try, and they're not able to, quite get up that wall. But then they keep coming back and trying, and they get to that top, and just seeing the joy on their faces, the sense of achievement that kids can have, only to be, defeated by the thought of having to go down the zip line to get down from the top of the climbing wall. But that's still another amazing experience right there, getting to go down the zip line. So a couple of just fun, unique features that we have here at our camp.
And who visits camp throughout the year and in the summer as well? What are the opportunities throughout the year? And then we'll talk about summer camp as well.
Yeah, a lot of our Lutheran congregations come out here and use the camp for their own youth retreats. And it's not a Lutheran's only club. Camp Iodoseca is a mission in the eastern Iowa area. And so just with our summer campers, not everybody that comes to the camp is a Lutheran. We're open to lots of other Christian churches and organizations and schools in the area that come and use our facility. So we certainly have outdoor education groups, other hobby retreats like scrapbooking retreats, but certainly lots of the groups that use us are churches conducting their own confirmation retreats or senior high events, adult Bible study weekends, pastors' conferences are held out here. We have we're owned by our district. We're in the Iowa District East, and so they own camp, and we host there are youth retreats. We have a district confirmation retreat, district senior high retreat, middle school retreat, the district pastors conferences here. Our district's pastors wives retreat is also here. And so that's a good sampling of the kinds of groups that we have out here throughout the year.
And so let's talk a little bit more about what happens during the summer, the opportunities during the summer. Who's served by camp during summer camp?
Yeah, our camp programs go for kids who have completed kindergarten or who are going into kindergarten all the way up until their senior, going into their senior year of high school. That's the age range of the kids that can come to camp. Our earliest program, so we have a day camp program here for the youngest kids where they can still come out to camp, but they don't have to spend the night, so they might have a Monday through Friday during the day camp experience. So we have that for kids, local children in the area. And then we also have our resident camp program, and that starts for kids who are going into first grade. And they can come out to camp for a three-day, two-night mini-week camp is what we call that. And then as they get into fourth grade, the opportunity, as they're going into fourth grade, the opportunity to come to a full week camp, a Sunday through Friday camp, opens up to them.
What does a typical day look like at one of those camps during the summer?
As you'd expect with Bible camp, it starts up with spending time in God's Word. We open up before breakfast here at 7:30. We have a morning prayer which is led by our pastor of the week. So every week here at camp, we have a pastor. Most of the time, it's a pastor in our district, but sometimes we have a pastor from a neighboring district come over for a week. But they lead us in prayer. Then we come over for breakfast, have breakfast. And after breakfast, kids kind of get into their activity schedule. Now, depending on the camp, it varies what they do in the morning. But normally in the morning, there's a Bible study time. And then there's a couple activity blocks as well that, you know, kids get to go to. And that kind of depends on the camp that they're in, too. You know, sports camp, we have all different kinds of camps. We have sports camp. We have basketball camp. We have a really cool camp called projectile camp where kids they build projectile elements and they get to launch stuff all week. So depending on what kind of camp they're coming to, you know, they might get to go and do some very specific activities as they relate to that camp. But then we also have more generic youth camps where they, you know, get to do the archery, canoeing, other, you know, regular outdoor activities. And so they'll have an opportunity to do those in the morning in those camps. Then there's lunch. Afternoon, they get to select which activity kind of they want to do and go out. And so we give the campers that come to camp a little bit of choice each day where they can go and select their activity. We have swimming. Swimming's a part of our camp program. We have a pool here at Camp Iodiseka, so that's a fun time, always a fun time. And then the day goes on as after supper, or just before supper, there's another there's afternoon prayer, which is led by the pastor of the week there as well. And then we get into the evening and we do some more all-camp games or all-inclusive things. Sometimes those are running games, and sometimes we have a skit night, so all the cabins prepare a skit to show to the rest of the camp. And that's always a fun thing to get to see and see all the kids' talents really come out at that event. Then the last night of camp during that time is what we call big event. And the last night of the week of the full week camps is we do kind of we call it the wow, but it's a passion drama that takes our camp theme. So we have a Bible study theme throughout the week. And we select scenes from Scripture, and our staff escort kids from scene to scene, and we act out those scenes to help kind of tie the whole thing back together. And so that's always a really unique and meaningful, powerful thing for the kids to see. So after a big event, then the last thing before they go back to their cabins at night is campfire. Of course, we get to sing some songs. We get to... another thing we do there is our staff always have a skit at each campfire, and they get to, it might be funny, it might be serious, but it kind of points back to something that was really an essential part of the Bible study, a lesson of the Bible study. So that's a pretty full day of camp. Most kids are pretty tired after a day like that.
And the counselors too.
Yeah, the counselors too, yes. Yes, indeed.
Daniel, do you have a story of a camper or a staff or someone that camp has really made a difference for them that really stands out for you?
Yeah, you know, I think these last couple of years, you know, a person might think of going to camp and they'll think, oh, great, you know, it'll be fun and games, and yeah, they'll get to do some Bible study, and it'll be great. But, you know, I think these last couple of years, there's kind of been a little more tone of seriousness from some campers. When they get to camp, it's sometimes the cares that they have and the rest of the world, the frustrations tend to boil over. And they get to camp, they know they have a safe place where they can talk and be heard and not be bullied. 2 years ago, rather, I remember that we had a group on camp. It was their first day, and these campers have been coming to camp for several years now. They were high schoolers, and the first thing they did when they got to camp is they didn't want to go play their favorite game or activity. They wanted to sit down right away with their counselor, and they said, you know, how do we talk about certain issues? How do we talk about you know, these things online? We're getting bullied in places, you know, just because of our Christian faith. That was a really eye-opening thing. You know, it helps bring a new meaning to, you know, what camp can offer to young people today. You know, in an area, in a world where their beliefs are constantly being challenged. And to give them a safe place where they can go through the Word of God and grow in their faith throughout the course of the week and hear the gospel, but also, you know, be strengthened in their defense of their faith, too, because of their camp experience. I think that's something that, you know, is really sticking out to me these last couple of years and something that I'm really noticing a bit.
Well, we have just a little time left before we wrap up. The name, Camp Iota Seca. Tell us a little bit about how the camp got that name.
You know, it's a little funny. The first time I heard Camp Iota Seca, I worked at another, I was working at another Lutheran camp at the time, and I was in a staff meeting. I'd just gotten off the phone with a representative of the camp here, and I said, "Hi, I'm so and so from Camp Iota Seca. We'd like to consider you for this position." And I was so excited. I went to the staff meeting. "Hi guys, I just got a call from camp, it's in Iowa." had no idea, well, how to say it again for the second time, let alone spell it. Iota Seca stands for Iowa District East Camp. In fact, when the camp was established, they just used to be called Iota Seca. And I think a lot of people didn't understand what Iota Seca meant. So it's kind of been rebranded over the years to be, you know, Camp Iota Seca. So Iowa District East Camp is what it stands for. There's actually quite a few people in the district who don't know that. So it's always a funny little story to tell.
And how can we find out more about what's coming up this summer, the summer camp and opportunities and registration, things like that?
Yeah. Well, the best place is our website at Camp Iota Seca. .org. The other great place is just looking for Camp Iota Seca on Facebook. We put a lot of our information there. Registration is currently up, and our online registration, people can download information from the website to send in. And our online registration will just be open as well here just this week.
And Iota Seca, IODISECA, correct?
Yep. That is correct.
CampIODISECA.org is the way to find out more about Camp Iota Seca. When does summer registration roll out?
It's already started.
Already started.
Yep, already began.
All right. Well, time to jump on it if you're looking at Camp Iota Seca for the summer. Well, thank you so much for being my guest today. Daniel Sanchez, Camp Director, Camp Iota Seca, Solon, Iowa. Thanks for being my guest.
Hey, thank you very much.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.